SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Let's do this thing. The post-draft analysis continues, and we're going to break it down with Rick Saratella. But as I've often stated, you're only allowed to live in the past if you're a history professor or a hair metal band. Right, so we're already going to take a look to the future, back to the future style. NFL draft Bible. Rick Saratella steps up and in. Rick, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, back at it again. That's what we do, man. The countdown is on. 51 weeks until the 2026 NFL draft, baby.
That's right. We're already looking ahead to 2026 right now, and the sports books are as well. They've posted odds. Arch Manning is the favorite to be the number one pick in the 2026 NFL draft at plus 200. Drew Aller, Penn State quarterback, plus 250. Garrett Nussmeyer, plus 500. LSU quarterback. Cade Klubnik, 12-1. Clemson Tiger quarterback. Lenora Sellers, 12-1. South Carolina Gamecock quarterback. It was a very thin quarterback class this year, Rick, in the NFL draft. It was often discussed, and the NFL teams put their money where their mouths were in showing how they didn't like this quarterback class. But what do you think about next year's quarterback class? Do any of these names excite you, Rick Saratella?
They do. They do indeed, Gabriel Morenci. And let's start with year of the Arch, Arch Manning. I mean, this guy looked good in a short exposure that we saw him. He's a little bit of a dual threat, can pick up yards on the ground, has a strong arm. And, you know, listen, there's a lot of talk. Will he stay in school? Will he declare? I think the New Orleans Saints have a very good chance of having that number one overall pick. And wouldn't that, you talk about history repeating itself, wouldn't that be fascinating? Arch Manning to the Saints. I mean, that would be hard to bypass.
Yeah, you know, the Pope just recently passed. And, you know, with all due respect, it may rest in peace, but the Mannings in Louisiana really are kind of papal. Like, they're that big, bro. Like you said, like, I couldn't even imagine if Arch Manning was the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. But he's got to do it first, right? And we'll get to Shedeur Sanders a little bit later on. But yep, as far as Manning is concerned, it looks like he has it, right? So he's got the pedigree. You know, he's been a star quarterback. He's played at high levels in the past. And, hell, people think the Texas Longhorns are going to win the national championship this year. There's a lot of hype and expectations. So there's not this, it's not the exact same as the Sanders situation. But with all that being stated, you know, NFL teams, whatever, they're not going to care if he's a Manning if he can't throw the football, right? I guess that's what we're going to find out about this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could state a case that he's the one that pushed Quinn Ewers into the NFL draft, because word is, if he wanted to play college football next season, he was going to have to go into the transfer portal. Now, they say he turned down NIL deals between $4 to $8 million to return back to college. So Quinn Ewers cost himself a little bit of pocket change there. Will Arch Manning learn from that? We shall see. Lenora Sellers out of South Carolina was a name when I pulled scouts down at the Senior Bowl that came up quite often. And then, you know, Clemson has got two tremendous defensive linemen in TJ Parker, the edge rusher, Peter Woods, the defensive tackle. I think you got to throw those guys into the mix, as well as Garrett Neusemeyer from LSU, son of Doug Neusemeyer, NFL bloodlines. LSU dipped into that transfer portal big time for wide receivers. I can see LSU really ascending big time this year.
And we know that LSU quarterbacks put up big numbers. No one could dispute this. I like Nussmeyer. We'll see. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too excited. Like, I'm just fascinated by you know, looking at this now, and I'm just sort of fast forwarding to next year, and we're going to remember having this conversation. Yeah. Like, Drew Aller's a good example. He's one of the most heavily criticized quarterbacks in college football, yeah, but that'll mean nothing to NFL scouts. How do you feel about Drew Aller? As, like I said, let's just say Arch Manning doesn't light it up and or Arch Manning decides, you know what, or his family decides, you should play another year of college football and then go to the NFL. Is Drew Aller number one draft pick material from a mental standpoint, leadership standpoint? Is he the guy?
Depends on who you ask, Gabe. And I got to confess, he made it into my mock draft. I have him number 10 to the Raiders in my 2026 mock draft. But
he feels like a Raider. Good call. It feels like a guy.
But I got to say, the one thing is, this ain't LaMonica over here. Like, the reason why Penn State failed to win the big games, Gabe, is because Drew Aller is just shook to throw the ball downfield.
And he can't make big plays.
Yeah, I really thought he held the Penn State offense back. Now, you talk about 1-2 punch, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen. They returned two running backs that kind of remind you of what Ohio State had going on last year. So that should alleviate some of the pressure. But, I mean, Drew Aller's got to show that he can throw the ball downfield. Come on, son.
Cade Klubnik is another quarterback that kind of – he's not going to put big numbers up, so he's not going to get the hype because he plays for the Clemson Tigers. And Clemson, you know, they're NFL talent challenged, Rick, right? I mean, growing up, or at least, you know, not growing up, but let's say, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, they would produce NFL wide receivers, running backs, right? And I know they still have a few, but it's not the same anymore. He can't recruit at the same level as he was. So where I'm going with this is I like Cade Klubnik. I think the kid's a competitor, and I know that a lot of smart football people like him as well. So he's one of these guys. Yeah, he's not going to, you know, be on ESPN highlights because they're not going to score 55 points a week, but this kid's a good quarterback, Rick, 12-1 to be the number one pick.
Yeah, big-time pedigree, five-star recruit, if I recollect correctly. And
yeah,
also,
he's a high school champion. I remember because we talked about it last year when he played Quinn Ewers. He beat Quinn Ewers in, like, the state championship game.
Very big-time high school quarterback who was kind of late to the dance party. He took a little while to develop. But I'll tell you what, he did put up some big-time numbers last year, which was uncharacteristic for Clemson quarterbacks. I mean, Cade Klubnik all of a sudden was slinging it around the parking lot all over the field. And listen, he's more of that traditional pocket passer. You call him endangered species. They're on the brink of extinction, it feels like. But he can hang in the pocket. He can make all the throws. He can work the short to intermediate parts of the field. And there's always going to be teams that value that.
I see Miller Moss. Remember, Miller Moss was hyped up last year coming into the year with USC. He's transferred to Louisville this year. So he's at 40-1. So just for the record, Arch Manning plus 200, plus 250 at Penn State. Garrett Nussmeier plus 500 LSU. Cade Klubnik's 12-1. Sellers is 12-1. And the first non-quarterback, Rick, to be the number one pick in the NFL draft is Caleb Downs, which, as a Michigan Wolverine fan, and I kind of knew, like, because he wasn't in this year's NFL draft, he was coming back, but just seeing it, I'm like, God damn, he's back, huh? this guy's a good football player, but his position, no one takes safety's number one, right? But hell of a football player.
Yeah, it'd be a miracle for him to go one overall, but I'll tell you what, he splashed onto the scene as a true freshman at Alabama, went over to Ohio State, immediately made his presence felt. Now, he wasn't draft eligible this year, but he will be next year, along with, you know, Ohio State just keeps churning out these wide receivers. Get ready for Carnell Tate now. We saw Emeka Ogbuka go in the first round this year. Carnell Tate's the next one. They just keep reloading at Ohio State. Chris Olave, Garrett.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Twisted Tuesday, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretz, the pits, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Rick Saratel, AllAccessFootball.com, the NFL Draft Bible in the house. With us. All right, Rick, we opened up with taking a look at the 2026 draft. Let's just get the Sanders stuff out of the way. You and I talked about him a lot coming into this draft, and the process that he went through about not participating at the Shrine Bowl, not participating at the Combine, I think in hindsight, now I think he should have went before the fifth round, but I think it's pretty clear in hindsight he overplayed his hand, right? I mean, you know, if he shows up to these events and actually works out and tries to prove himself, his stock rises, but I think that's the best way of putting it, Rick. He had his hand wasn't as good as he thought it was.
You know, this was just a dark storm, an avalanche that started as a snowball, Gabe. And it was just one after the other, just, you know, bypassing the Senior Bowl where all the decision makers go. The East-West Shrine is held simultaneously. No, I'm going to go to Dallas. If you want to see me, you come to Dallas. Oh, by the way, I'm not practicing. Even though the NFL memo said if you attend one of these events, you have to participate. He thought he was above the law. And then he opts out of the Combine, opts out of the Big 12 Pro Day, has the Colorado Showcase well after everybody else conducts their Pro Days. And then you hear the horror stories of inside the interview room where he was testy if, you know,
combative, certain defensive.
Right. Getting on the chalkboard.
Rick, I read a quote, the story, Albert Breer, who I thought he did a great job recapping a lot of the stories. And one coach said he'd been in the NFL for like 15 years and never got into an argument with a prospect before, but got into an argument with Sanders.
Well, there was a lot of testiness. There was a lot of, almost from what I understand, talking down to the teams, especially if you weren't in the top 10. He almost had an attitude as if like, why am I wasting my time speaking to you? Like, are you joking me? You don't have a shot at this guy. Are you kidding me? I'm legendary. And, you know, that act kind of wears thin on people, especially, you know, I even after day two, after, you know, we entered day three, like, can we quit it with the legendary crap? You're not legendary, bro. You're sitting there on day three. Okay. So listen, I think it's an uphill climb. Do I think Shedeur Sanders can go on and beat all these bozos in Cleveland? Sure, he's going to have to work at it, though. He's not going to have a lot of reps to do it. He's going to have to make the most of his opportunities. And going out and having a concert and jumping in the pool, like, I think that's what bothers teams the most, is like, here we are, rookie minicamp, and I got the whole entourage, the reality. I mean, I heard Shiloh live streamed all these. And if you look at the reaction of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski when the pick is, I mean, they went to the Browns war room when every pick was made. They're in there giddy as hell, jumping around like little kids. And there was rumors that the owner stepped in and forced them to take Shedeur Sanders. And if you look at their reaction when that pick came, was red, I mean, it looked like they're attending a funeral. So I think it's an interesting storyline to watch.
And Cleveland are going to Cleveland. This is what they're going to do. In the sense, I don't have a problem with Sanders in the fifth round. There's stories, as you stated, too. That was it was the look of death. It wasn't even the afternoon strip club applause, Rick. This was like, well, it was like, oh God, like, you know what I mean? It was like you said, it was nothing. It was like the little kind of like, oh God, all right. Now you can sort of see Stefanski. God, what do I got to deal with all these quarterbacks?
Yeah,
but.
And I'll say this about Cleveland, one last thing. Like, you know, as a talent evaluator, I spend my whole life trying to come across talents like Travis Hunter, and you trade out of that spot.
Yeah, like, you have him, and then you don't take him, right?
I mean, I just can't fathom, like, you could have paired this guy with Myles Garrett. I mean, these are foundational cornerstone blue-chip players that you – like, that's the whole point of the draft. And I don't care how much draft equity you pick up. Like, you're never going to draft a guy – as good as Travis Hunter. All those picks, not one of those players will ever be as good as Travis Hunter will be. And I just think that Cleveland has no sense of direction. That Ivy League degree there with Andrew Berry, man, you could take that. That's for the pigeons.
And what about taking Dylan Gabriel in the fourth round?
Like, I mean, come on, dude.
Like, where did you have him projected? Like, I liked him as a college quarterback, but what, seventh round? Like,
yeah, he was a day three flyer, right? Like, and he, by the way, if you ever seen the Dylan Gabriel interview, he hates the cold weather. By the way, I mean, like, this kid's a Cali Hawaiian warm weather quarterback. Oh, let's bring him up to Cleveland. I mean, it's a reason why they're called the mistake by the lake. And some things just don't change, my friend.
And Cleveland, you need arm strength. He's got none of it. He's undersized. Like, and I don't want to be critical, but, you know, there was a picture of Dillon Gabriel at the combine, if you recall. And he looked like a soccer player next to the football players. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? He was just sort of like, it's like, come on, dude. Like, this isn't like, if you're the Browns, and they take two running backs, Rick. Like, this isn't a fantasy football draft, man.
You know, Cleveland mystifies me every year, it seems like. And I mean,
two quarterbacks and two running backs. That's fantasy football.
Yeah, it's almost like they actually outsmart themselves with all those Ivy League degrees in the building. Yeah. They're outthinking it, man. They're overthinking it.
Mason Graham is a baller, though, right? I mean, you know, Mason Graham is a baller, but at some point you can only kick the can down the road. You can only kick the can down the road so many times. Rick Saratella in the house with us, Rick, and I said this too because people. You know, everyone's criticizing everybody. I'm not a hater. I want to see these players succeed and see how they do in the National Football League. But Ashton Jeanty, I'm going to say, like, he got drafted too high. I think the Raiders drafted out of need. Like, is Jeanty going to be a superstar? I'm not so sure he is, Rick. This will be my bold hot take. I'm not saying he's a bust, but is he next level? I mean, you ran the ball against San Jose State and Hawaii, bro. You know what I mean? Like, the Mountain West is terrible. And, okay, he had a nice game against the Ducks in week one. He got shut down in the playoff game, stone cold, against Penn State. I like him, but he's not Saquon Barkley. He's not like Derrick Henry here. Let's not pretend. I think he's a little bit getting overvalued a little bit.
I tend to agree with you, Gabe. I was never that high as the rest of the mainstream media was.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got Rick Saratella on. I just talk over the music. We just keep going on and on. We can talk for hours. And we only got a couple of minutes left already here. So, Rick, a couple of teams, listen, winners or losers in the draft, we'll find out. Talk to me in 3 years, right? You know, I mean, we don't know. Everybody wants to judge stuff right now. But a couple of, you know, teams that I thought did very well, I liked what Arizona did. I mean, I'm a big Will Johnson fan, and I thought he was a steal, the fact that he fell as far as he did. I just sort of liked the way that they addressed their needs with Arizona. I thought they got some good football players. I like what Seattle did. As well, just sort of toughening up the Atlanta Falcons as well. You and I talked about Pierce. Pierce does end up going in the first round when it's all said and done. But they really stockpiled their defensive line. You have to like, you know, like with the draft, Rick, we talk like, all right, you got all these players, and in reality, very few of them have an immediate impact. But you look at the Atlanta Falcons, and you got guys you could just drop on the defensive line right away, and they're going to have an impact for the Falcons.
I liked what the Falcons did. I thought they were one of the winners. I went on a show. They criticized me for picking them as a winner because they felt like they giving up the draft equity. I don't know. James Pierce Jr. to me is a bona fide potential borderline top 10 talent.
Dude, you got Jalen Walker, James Pierce, Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. Their defense just got way better. They're all starters.
And their fourth round pick, Billy Bowman Jr., was my number two safety on the big board. I compare him to Eddie Jackson, Bob Sanders-esque type of safety. And then Jack Nelson out of Wisconsin, always a well-coached offensive lineman there. So, yeah, Jalen Walker, you can use him as a linebacker. You can use him as a situational pass rusher. And then they double down with James Pierce Jr. I liked it. And, you know, you talk about Arizona, Jonathan Gannon, a defensive-minded coach. Well, hey, we'll just pick our first five picks will be defense. How about that? Walter Nolan and Jordan Burch in the trenches. In the second level, they get Cody Simon, a proven linebacker. Will Johnson in the third level is going to be competing for a starting spot. And then Denzel Burke out of Ohio State is someone who was talked about as a first-round pick, struggled, got beat with the long ball a little times there with the Buckeyes. But big-time pedigree, he's been talked about as a big-time prospect. Arizona is going to be a tough out, man. This is a very competitive team.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean was being criticized by local Buffalo radio, and he called in and he called them clowns, basically. And he goes, "You guys wanted to take Josh Rosen over over Josh Allen." He's keeping receipts, evidently, Bean. And listen, I've been critical of Bean. I don't mind his draft picks. I don't like trading picks to Kansas City. That's my only complaint with this man. All right, so that's my only beef with you, sir. But I love the Bills draft, so I don't know what the hell these guys. They're like, "Oh, you should have got a wide receiver." The Bills, and I'm with Bean, because people online, I said to people during the draft, I said, the Bills score 30 points a year every year, Rick. They, you know what I mean? You and I could play wide receiver. Don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. They put points up on the board. I don't understand the tight end pick, unless they're planning on throwing Knox under the bus. But talk to me about Harrison, because he wasn't talked about a lot, but a lot of people are saying that this guy was actually one of the best cornerbacks on the board. The Bills loved him. Harrison, you get Sanders out of South Carolina, Jackson out of Arkansas, the huge man in a 6'7", like 345-pounder, and Walker out of Kentucky. What do you think of the Bills draft?
Well, quickly here, I was a little bit taken aback and surprised by the interview, because as a local radio host, I mean, I can't imagine anything more gratifying than the GM coming on your show and admitting that you irked him.
Like, you're right. It really validates you. You're right. It happened to me when I was the host of it, doing the expos. I had the president call in. I want to correct something you said, Gabriel. And I was like, wow, the president's listening.
I digress, but Maxwell Hairston is a little bit light, but he's a great cover man. He could play man. He could play zone. You talk about elite level speed, can stick with anybody. He fills a need too. So I thought it was good value at 30th overall. TJ Sanders is a plug and play defensive tackle that you can move up and down the defensive line, but he probably fits best as a three tech because he can bring some interior pass rush. So him lining up next to Ed Oliver, you kind of increase the penetration rate from the inside of that defensive line. Landon Jackson, you mentioned, and both Deion Walker from Kentucky, large men, hard to move. I mean, these are people movers. They absorb double teams. Landon Jackson didn't have the year he wanted at Arkansas, but man, this guy's got length for days. He can set the edge as a run stuffer, and he has some pass rush ability. Deion Walker, I mean, you look at this guy, he looks soft. He looks like he's playing patty cake. He plays upright. But, I mean, there's just no way to stop him except for allocating two bodies. He's a two-down run stuffer defensive lineman.
Jordan, we got to get out of here, Rick.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Jackson Hall, it's all good, baby.
I'm getting fired up this Bills Mafia. Let's go, baby. Let's roll.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always awesome with Rick Saratella talking football. Already taking a look at the 2026 NFL draft. Number one pick odds are up. We'll get into it a little bit in a couple of minutes. I said earlier tonight before the show started, I tweeted that it feels like a special night tonight in the sports world, that there's going to be a lot of like weird endings and a lot of big time drama and stuff. And I don't think they're going to be doing a 30 for 30 documentary about this date 25 years from now. But with that being stated, we had a dramatic finish at Madison Square Garden. We've got a big-time game going on. We have two L.A. teams in action right now at the same time, the Clippers and the Nuggets, and a big-time game. Edmonton and L.A. has been a special series, just feels like the old days. It's been a great, great competitive series. Suddenly it's 1-1 right now. The Devils and the Canes went to double overtime, and finally, on the 51st shot on goal, they finally break through, and the Carolina Hurricanes advance, and we finally cash one of our first tickets with the exact series score prices with Carolina to beat the Devils in five. Vegas and Minnesota was wild earlier, pardon the pun. There were a lot of early goals. Completely slowed down. It's 2-1 still right now. Going into the third period of play, the Wilder plus 425. And the Vegas Golden Knights are minus 650. We jumped in on the over 1.5 in a second period, knowing, we talked about this earlier, guys, this Oilers-Kings series, all these games, they start off slow, and then next thing you know, the goals just sort of start to add up. It's 5.5 right now in game. For the record, the Dodgers are rolling the Marlins. It's 7-1 in the top of the fifth inning right now. San Diego leads San Francisco 5-4. Mariners up on the Halos 5-1. And the Twins and Guardians tied at 1. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now, who's no doubt watching all this insanity tonight, Mo. Let's start off actually at, they call it the world's most famous arena. I don't know if it really is, but I guess it is. And if you just call yourself something and you repeat it over, it's like, yeah, I guess so. there's other, the crypt is pretty pipe, you know what I mean? And they, whatever, they're talking about a lot of arenas, but ooh, Madison Square Garden. But all kidding aside, the Pistons, man, I'd like to add up the quarters. I wish we had a crack research team here right now. I know Pat Foster's in the house with us. He's a DJ in the NBA. Maybe he can, he knows. But how many quarters they played now? So what, they played five games, so five times four, what, 20?
20.
They played 20 yeah. quarters in the Pistons-Knicks series. They haven't gone overtime, right? So 20 quarters. Here's the Oilers coming in. Ooh, big save. The Oilers might score actually here right now. Oh, the net got knocked off the. The Kings are lucky. The Oilers look like they're about to score, and I don't know if they knocked the net off on purpose. I'll see the replay. But I was going to say, Mo, the Pistons, they've won the majority of the quarters, right? Like they should have. They could have won. You know, they could have won the games. The first game in New York, they could have won the game the other day with the the controversial foul. Like the Pistons are playing with the Knicks for real. And you could argue, you know what, they deserve better than be down 3-2, but they showed a lot tonight. I almost feel like the Canadians are in the same spot tomorrow. Young team, you're in the playoffs for the first time in a little while. You're down. No one really expects you to win the series, but can you compete? The Pistons showed tonight, Mo, they can compete. That was pretty impressive of them to go on the road and hang on in a close win like they got tonight.
Yeah, especially in the final 5 minutes of that game, guys. When you think about how twitchy the Pistons got with their free throw shooting, possession in their hands, where there was almost chaos that broke through for the Knicks going the right direction for them. But you saw Cade Cunningham be really mature in that final 10 minutes of that ball game. And even strategically speaking, right, you heard Ivan Eagle and Grant Hill mention the point that they couldn't get Brunson on the court for the final minute and change because it was this continuous flow back and forth. And he came out with, what, 32 seconds left in the ball game. So really, I think the rotation by the Knicks was not done really well overall in the final 8-9 minutes of that matchup. But again, guys, you're absolutely bang on. Game one could have been Detroit. Game four could have easily been Detroit. And now we go back to Detroit for game six. And I just think right now for the Knicks, how healthy are they going to be? Because physically speaking here, guys, they just look like they're just worn down right now against a much agile, younger, more spring in their step, fox on box type of play from the Detroit Pistons.
It's too bad that this Denver Nugget Clippers series has been on often against the LA Kings and the Oilers. Because the Kings and the Oilers are just too good to look away from. It's a great series. But the Clippers and Nuggets has been a really good series as well. This is a pivotal game tonight. I picked the Clippers, guys, before the series started, but I took the Denver Nuggets tonight, right? You know, this is a pivotal game for the Denver Nuggets, and I didn't think they were getting enough respect. I didn't think the Clippers should be two-point road favorites in this spot this evening. Nuggets are up 72-59. I'll ask you, Mo, in your opinion, do you think if the Nuggets win tonight that they're going to win the series?
No, I don't think so. I think the Clippers.
You still think the Clippers are going to win, huh?
Coming in, I thought the Clippers were hot. I think they were stable. I think they had less question marks, right? I know you see the Nuggets playing off the emotion of no Mike Malone and trying to bleep the world and how they've been viewed upon the last 10, 12 days of their regular season into the playoffs here.
Yeah, for the record, too, let me just quickly pull a Barry Horowitz and say when they fired him, I said, watch, this will be good for them. They didn't like him anyways. But anyways, go on.
No, they didn't. He was a hard ass with the Nuggets. But
no, it's true, Cam. Like, they were like, good, he's gone. Like, finally. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Jokic, you saw right away, Jokic had the blackboard and the chalkboard in a timeout. Jokic is telling people, you go there, you go there, and they give you the ball. You know what I mean? Like, he's drawing plays up, and Adelman's like, all right. Right? And he gave him a little shot in the arm. Like, he's more of a cheerleader coach. Malone was like, come on, Gordon, Aaron, you're not playing D, right?
Like, a heart attack.
Adelman's more like, let's go, right? He's more of that cheerleader guy. And the thing is, guys, they're just good in the clutch. Jokic is good at it. Dude, Kawhi's going off. I get it with the Clippers, and I picked the Clippers, actually. I thought the Clippers could win the West, but they just they needed to win tonight, Mo, in my opinion, guys.
Yeah.
Like, there's no guarantee they're going to win Game 6, and I don't think they're going to win Game 7. Like I said this when they let them off the hook in Game 1 in Denver. My exact quote was, guys, each game on the road is going to get harder to win for you. Like, you got to steal these games back now, bro, not wait to a Game 7.
No, you're right. And I just think that for the Clippers and how they were functioning on the weekend, and that crazy ending that they had, I mean, they play better when they're down. And, you know, and you imagine they'll have their say in this matchup. And Harden, who has been remarkably bought into this whole Ty Lue system here, I think will have a big influence in this whole game going towards the second half of this matchup. But keep this in mind, guys, right? You saw today that the Sacramento Kings extended or now gave Doug Christie or the new contract extension, right? They probably realized that Adelman will probably be the Nuggets coach because they were going to go hard for him because of what his history was from the family lineage of his dad being the Kings coach about 22 years ago when he led them to the best, greatest run that they had for 2-3 years.
Yeah, I'll give credit to C Webb and company.
Yeah.
But I like more than Rick Adelman. I think of the Blazers with Adelman. So the Lakers and the T-Wolves tomorrow. Lakers are also facing elimination right now, and Luka's lack of defense is starting to be exposed right now, and he's always been this. It's just, it is who he is. He's going to put up a bunch of points, but he's not going to play defense. He's going to complain to the referees on every damn play, even in a tight playoff game. You know, and I get it with the smiling and the laughing, and you could say, oh, you know, the kid loves to play basketball and it's fun and stuff, but, you know, at times I think, you know what I mean, it's just he's not serious enough. I don't trust the Lakers tomorrow as 5.5-point favorites. Minnesota's got a killer edge to this team. What do you think about tomorrow, Mo? Are the Lakers going to extend the series?
I think they will. I think T-Wolves win in 6, but right now, you saw on Sunday, right? You pretty much used the reserves of LeBron and Luka for the final 24 minutes of that game. And
no, they did. They were the first team ever to play 5 guys only in the second half of a game.
And it's an indictment to what J.J. Redick probably thinks about his roster rotation, that he doesn't have many options to work with against a much agile T-Wolves team.
Gabe Vincent?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. So we got a 1-1 hockey game in Los Angeles, 6:50 left in the second period. Edmonton are out shooting them 29-11. They outshot them 19-4 in the first period, but it's 1-1. That's hockey. 80-65 for the Nuggets. So the Nuggets have started to distance themselves a little bit in the second half here. They've outscored them 13-6. The Clippers are they're not even the Leafs. You know what I mean? But they kind of are. They just don't win. You know what I mean? They just don't. The Clippers, you know what's crazy? The Clippers have never been to the conference finals before. Think about that. They never won a championship or they made it to the finals. They've never made it to the conference finals before, right? They've won playoff series. They've never been out of the second round before in their history. I don't know about Buffalo, actually. Our boy Tommy's the Buffalo historian here. The old school Buffalo days. Well, it's fitting, Ken, but they came from Buffalo, right? They never won anything before. It's like you're going to come from Buffalo. You got the Buffalo basketball team.
Good Buffalo. Can't they catch a break? Sick and tired of it. It's ridiculous.
I don't recall a ton of Buffalo Brave championships.
I think they did a hell of a lot better than the Clippers, though. I think there was one. I think they did something. Didn't they win one year? Buffalo Braves. 1952.
Let's see.
Tommy,
champions.
Ottawa, Tommy.
No. They didn't win. No.
Why? Is Tommy making it up now? 1952.
Someone at the Big Tree in Buffalo lied to him after a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
I see here, championships, none. Conference titles, none. Division titles, none.
Wow. That sucks.
Jack Ramsey was their coach. It's a big coach. Cotton Fitzsimmons. Playoff appearances, three. 1974, 1975, 1976. Oh, the Royals? Royals? Okay, so we're being told the Royals.
There you go.
Now, all white NBA days don't count, bro. Like, we're not going to be far.
Black 1951 Royals.
Good call by Buffalo. You got to sit up. It's like Buffalo won the AFL championship with Jack Kemp as Tom. No, exactly. We got to claim the championships, right? Might have happened a long time ago, but it happened. But it wasn't the Buffalo Braves / Clipper organization. That's the point. Right? The Buffalo Braves existed from 1970 to 1978. Then they became the San Diego Clippers from 1978 to 1984. And then they became the L.A. Clippers from 1984 to present. I didn't realize. I actually thought the Clippers were there longer because I used to go to Clipper games in like 1989. I didn't realize they were that new. And they had Charles Smith and Ron Harper, Gary Grant. They were bad. They weren't good. Then they had the Candyman after and stuff like that. But like I said, the Clippers have never been good. They had a little Blake Griffin, Chris Paul run there. But for the most part, they've never been good. All right. So the NFL draft, I just talked with Rick Saratella about it, Mo. The Sanders stuff. Like I said, he clearly overplayed his hand. I talked about the stories last night. It's one thing with quarterbacks, like, don't know things. And, you know, remember Cam Newton when he was with Gruden and Gruden in the QB class, basically. Gruden used to grill QBs during the draft. And he said, you know, how did you read this and how'd you read that? And Cam Newton sort of stared at him and said, he goes, my options are left to right. Like, he goes, that's what we did. Like, at Auburn, basically said, we snapped the ball, and I went left to right, and I looked for the open guy. And Gruden was a little freaked out by the lack of sophistication of the offense. But you know, Mo, a lot of the college offenses are pretty simple. And Shedeur Sanders, in hindsight, whatever, dude, you didn't do anything at the Senior Bowl. You didn't do anything at the Shrine Bowl. You blew teams off. As Rick Saratella said, he had attitude with any coach that, like, wasn't in, like, the top five at the combine and stuff like that when he spoke to people. He overplayed his hand. He thought, like, oh, you know what, I'm great. And this is on Deion, I think, Mo, for not advising him better here, because Deion should know better how the NFL works. They don't care who you are. You know what I mean? Good for you. You got to, you're on watch or whatever. But, you know, in fact, we don't even like that stuff, that you have that already. So, like, Deion should have advised him better in hindsight to actually, you know what? When you're at the Shrine Bowl, actually participate. You know what I mean? You're not a slam dunk, like, first-round pick. And then there was a story about how one coach asked him and showed him, like, film. And he goes, you know, what about this interception here that you threw? What did you do wrong? And Sanders threw a tantrum. I didn't do anything wrong. It was the line. It was the receivers, blah, blah. And the coach said it was like talking to a child. He said, this guy, like, instead of just saying, yeah, this is, you know, I should have read the blitz here. I didn't pick up the, you know, the screen. I didn't pick up the safety, you know, whatever, like a normal person would do. He got defensive and combative. Another coach said that in 15 years, he never got into an argument with a prospect before. And he got into an argument with Shedeur and he walked out of the room. It's just there's one story after another, Mo. He sounds like he did this to himself, bro.
Well, also, remember, he didn't have an agent. Someone that was going to quarterback this whole process.
That's why I blame his father.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a big fault that no agent does not give you better latitude or better painting of the canvas of where you stand in the NFL eyes.
No, unless you're Cooper Flagg. Like, Cooper Flagg can say, I don't have an agent. Like, before the draft.
Right.
It's like, all right, you're going first overall. Like, but sure. Shedeur Sanders wasn't in that position.
No, but in a year where the quarterback class was rather weak, right, guys, this wasn't 2024 with Caleb and all those guys. It's not next year, 2 years down the road, that it's going to be much better and deeper in talent. For teams who are not quarterback need to pass on him, look at the Raiders. They passed on him 9 times. Teams didn't see him on the board. And even there was word that those who didn't think he'd be available in the second round didn't actually prepare for him and were kind of turned off by the whole antics of Shedeur Sanders. And I think the biggest red flag that came out of it, guys, the initial process when he did not go to the Shrine Bowl game, showed up, shook hands, waved to the crowd, and that was it. And you just saw right there that this guy was going to have a lot of red flags, and you saw what happened. He goes to the Cleveland Browns. We'll see what he does now as a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, he's they've got five quarterbacks there right now. And they took Dylan Gabriel as well. Very chaotic. What a shock. With the Cleveland Browns. I'll tell you what, though, like with the quarterbacks for next year, we'll take a look at the odds. It's interesting how they change. They change a lot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. Quickest 120 minutes in sports talk and television. We can just go all night here, man, but we're up against it already. One thing I'll say, too, is Sanders, there really wasn't a lot of teams that wanted quarterbacks. You know, that's another thing, too, right? You know, the teams decided that we like Geno Smith better than anybody in the draft, right? Seattle, they got Jalen Milroe, but we like Sam Darnold. Minnesota Vikings, we like J.J. McCarthy better than any of these guys. Right, Pittsburgh Steelers. They are pretty wild. The Steelers are one that surprised me a little bit in that the Steelers are deciding that we're gonna hope that Aaron Rodgers like takes some mushrooms and feels good about you know playing with for Pittsburgh Steelers. Like maybe one day he has some sort of like enlightenment on ketamine or something. You know what I mean? God's gonna tell him. Yeah, God's gonna Aaron. God told me, Pat. You know, on Pat's show. God, I was in Egypt, and God told me I should play for Pittsburgh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like I don't know what they're waiting for, but I think it's a mistake. But one thing, I brought this up with Saratella. The futures for the number one pick in the draft next year, guys. And last year at this time, you know who the pick was, guys, to be the number one pick in the draft?
Quinn Ewers, no?
No, he was the second pick. Mm-hmm. He was right there. You know who the first guy is? Carson Beck. You need to know about future projections. Carson Beck is now 30-1 to be the first pick in this year's draft. Carson Beck. Quinn Ewers is another story. He could have made like $8 million reportedly to stay in college. He goes to the pros, but whatever. Quinn Ewers' family has money, so you know it's not a money thing. But I'm just saying right now, guys, let's take note of this. Right now, Arch Manning is the favorite at plus 200 to be the number one pick next year. Drew Aller, plus 250. Nussmeier at LSU is 5-1. Cade Klubnik from Clemson is 12-1 to be the number one pick. Lenoris Sellers, explosive quarterback with South Carolina, 12-1. Carson Beck, 30-1. The first non-quarterback is Caleb Downs, safety, Ohio State / Alabama transfer. So I'll ask you quickly, Mo, and then we'll get to some picks for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Out of these quarterbacks, who do you believe in? Who do you? Because like I said, the market changes, bro. People always assume this stuff, and it's completely different, right? I mean, Quinn Ewers went in the seventh round. Carson Beck stayed in college. So Arch Manning, Drew Aller, Nussmeier, Klubnik, Sellers, who are you saying that will be the coveted guy by the NFL next year?
Arch will be the apple of the eyes for many. Remember, he's got 3 years left to play in college if he chooses to do so.
He might not even be in the draft next year. That's the whole thing. There's no guarantee.
No guarantees. Got 3 years left. Drew Aller's the guy to watch out for, guys, for Penn State, because he has that wild card ability, that wow factor that you look at. Those are the two quarterbacks that I would pay close attention to.
He's got all the skill, but he's not that good. You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm with Gabe.
You know what I mean, Cam? He's one of those dudes. Like, yeah, you look the part, but in the games, you don't get it done, you know?
Great call. We watch a lot. You know, Big Ten football. I watch this guy and go, like, he makes great plays, but he also does, like, a lot of dumb stuff, too. Like, I'm not there with him.
And that's why
I've been slow to come around on Nussmeier, but I think Nussmeier's the real deal. He's big. He throws it around. He's going to throw for like 8,000 yards next year. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. He's going to throw for a bunch. Klubnik, I like, guys. And I know people hold Clemson this. Mo, you're a Clemson hater, so we go through this every year, you and me.
Yeah, we do.
He's got issues with Clemson.
I told you they made the playoffs last year, though. But anyways, with Cade Klubnik. The thing is, Klubnik, Cam, he's not going to get a chance to put up, like, really show off in Clemson's offense. Don't have the same talent that they used to in the old days, skill position players. But NFL people like Klubnik, Mo. Like, he's a good quarterback, Klubnik.
He's getting better, too.
Yeah, and, like, Allen and Klubnik are going to have a lot of eyeballs watching what they do, right? Can they take that next step here, especially when you look at the Big Ten? Ohio State, Michigan transitioning, so could Penn State be the team to watch out for? ACC, same thing, right? Clemson is a team that could be the wild card in this whole process. So I think those two quarterbacks could really elevate their draft profile going toward the next spring.
All right, Mo, do the Canadians extend the series tomorrow? And was it you that put the Tom Wilson hockey cards in the urinals at the Bell Center?
Great that idea. Was not me. I had the Caps in six, but right now the Habs look deflated. They just got pounded. It was a hit on site policy by the Capitals on Sunday, and they just leaned on the Canadians. I just don't know if they have enough energy in the strength system to beat the Capitals tomorrow night.
All right, that Cam. So there's 13 minutes left. The Wild are right in it. We called it. Both you and I thought like this would be a close game. So they're in it. They got a puncher's chance at plus 190 on the money line. The Oilers and Kings are tied at two. Mo, what's your pick? Oilers or Kings tonight in the third period?
I think Kings pulled out. Look, they're one of the best home teams in the NHL, and they got Kemper, who's been playing very well so far in the series.
Big drama. Hey, we don't lie when we touch the quickest 120 minutes. We'll see you on the Wicked Wednesday. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.